reading the Luke 2 passage. Hopefully I'll do it as well as Linus does it. Charlie Brown. We were talking about it earlier a couple weeks ago about Charles Schulz and how he was very adamant about having it be a part of the special that they have out there. And there are a lot of folks who were around him that says, why would you want to read right from the Bible in your Christmas special and read, you know, especially from the old King James English Bible? And he says, if I don't do it, who will? So for every time you watch the Christmas program, the Peanuts Christmas, you hear Linus reading the Christmas story. I appreciate that, because some people want to shy away from abstain to what the tradition of Christmas that we know is. So we're going to read this together, and then we're going to look to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to kind of continuation of a little bit what we did last week. We had a sort of an abbreviated sermon. And you know I can't have an abbreviated sermon. It just doesn't work that way, you know. So we're going to look a little bit more about why Jesus himself said, this is why I've come. Okay, sometimes we talk about what Christmas is really about, but in the words of Jesus himself said, I came to do these things. So we're going to look at a few things because sometimes we get confused because of so much of what Christmas is. And we know, honestly, that there is a lot of pretend Christmas. And I'm not telling you don't have it. I mean, it's fun. We went out Christmas caroling. We sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And all those fun things. It's a cultural thing that we can enjoy together. If we can celebrate the 4th of July and all these other holidays that have nothing to do with the Bible, we can add a little bit of cultural Christmas to our lives, and that's not a problem, as long as we understand what the true meaning really is. Okay, and that's what we want to do. You know, 4th of July is not about fireworks. Okay, Memorial Day is not about a picnic. There's deeper meanings behind them, and we just have to remind ourselves what those things really are. Okay, so join me if you would. I hopefully have given you enough time to flip to Luke 2. Okay, Luke 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth, in Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and the story of Christmas. But Lord, we want to look a little bit broader than just a Christmas day. And Father, I know so many people focus on what we have as a holiday in Christmas time with Santa Claus and all those things. Father, I know sometimes there are those who will take the step closer and talk about a baby in a manger. And Lord, Father, I know that even with that, some will remember Jesus as the reason for the season, that Jesus came on Christmas Day so that he could make it to Easter, Lord, to fulfill his job as Savior. But Father, even broader than that, and we looked at it last week, and we're going to remind ourselves of it this week, that your plan of salvation, your design of Christmas morning, started before you even created this universe. Father, it has been a plan that you have had in the works. You knew we would need a Savior because you knew every single person that would ever live would be a sinner with a problem that they couldn't fix. And so, Father, I just pray, as we look to your word again, we would remind ourselves that there's more than just a baby in a manger in your coming. Lord, there are so many things that we get the benefit of when we understand our Savior. So, Father, just be with my mind. Thank you for the reading of your word and the songs we've already sung. And folks gathering together, Lord, this is a great time of year for family and friends and all those to get together and celebrate what we know about one another, and Lord, in the giving of gifts. Lord, I even thank you for the cards and letters and gifts that are passed around even on a morning like today. But Father, it's in celebration of the perfect gift that we have. So Father, just bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be flipping a little bit this morning. A lot of times we pick one passage and we start breaking that down, but today we're going to be going back and forth to a few different passages. Last week we reminded ourselves, and I wanted to jump off this point because they all sort of fit together. So by way of review, Ephesians chapter 3. The baby Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem did not start the work of salvation. Okay, and so many times we talk about that. Now please, if you, I'll catch you up, we'll see this. Jesus came to be born on this earth so that he could live a perfect life, so that he could make it to the cross and die for our sins. That is why he was here. Okay, but we give don't give God the credit he deserves when we don't understand that this was something that God had designed right from the very beginning. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Listen to what it says here. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now that's a lot of wording, but he says, God did this so that we would understand the manifold wisdom of God. He says, the church, especially. Now, talk about manifold for a minute, us mechanic kind of fellows. What is a manifold? Okay, I actually asked you to talk in church for a second. It's okay. Everybody's like, can I say something? I don't know if I can talk. Okay, what a manifold? Manifold is something that has multiple layers, right? If you have a manifold in your vehicle, or it has different multiple areas. God is saying there were a lot more to what he's going on than just one plan. He had manifold design. Now look at what it says here in verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You catch that? Now, we said this last week, and I introduced it this way again, that there is an eternal purpose to what he has done. It didn't just all of a sudden come up one Christmas morning, and he went, you know what? I think I'm going to have Jesus come and be born. Okay, he had designed this from the very beginning. Before he even created the world, he looked and said, you know those schlubs, those clowns called humans? They're going to need a Savior. And so he decides to put it together himself, all right? John chapter 6. John chapter 6. If you can keep up with me, please do. If not, I will try my best. The bifocals are a little dirty this morning, so we're doing all right. But John chapter 6, verse 38. So here we go. We told you this morning we're going to look at verses that Jesus himself declared why he came. Okay, we say, what is Christmas all about? Well, Jesus himself says, I'll tell you why I'm here. Okay, this is the first one. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So we just read that God had a manifold wisdom. He had a purpose that was eternal. And Jesus said, I came down here to fulfill the will of my Father. Okay, so you say, what is that will? I heard one of you say it. I know you said it. Next verse, look what it says. And this is the Father's will. Isn't that great when Jesus doesn't leave anything to question? You know, he goes ahead and says, I came down here to do what Dad told me to do. Well, what did Dad tell you to do? Well, let me tell you what Dad told me to do. He said, this is my Father's will. Okay, so here it is. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which is given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise them up at the last day. Verse 40 says the same thing. Listen, and this is the will of him that sent me. Pick this up. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last day. Now I want you to get that, because again, we're talking about having this true meaning of Christmas without a doubt. Well, Jesus goes ahead and makes it real clear right from the get-go here. He says, here's why I came. I came to do what my Father told me to do, the Heavenly Father. What did he tell me to do? He told me to come so that anyone that believes in me would have everlasting life. But wait a minute, I thought Jesus came in a manger so that we can give each other presents on December 25th. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? So that we can have hot chocolate with candy canes in it, and so that we can sing all these wonderful Christmas carols. Oh, the weather outside is frightful. Well, not today. Beautiful out there. Jesus makes it very clear. He says, I came so that when people believe on the work that I've done, they might have everlasting life. That is the reason. So every time we talk about Christmas, and listen, guys, I've got a Christmas tree at my house. And I know, and please, Wednesday night Bible study group, we've been going over this. I know that December 25th is not the day that Jesus was born. I think I inhaled a fly. If y'all didn't know that, I hope I didn't just ruin your entire morning. Okay? There is nothing in the Bible that says we should put up a tree with decorations on it. As a matter of fact, Wednesday night crew, we talked about where the tradition of the Christmas tree and where the Yule log and where some of these things come from. It ain't the Bible. Okay? But culturally, this is the time that we all decide to recognize the birth of Christ in this world. Okay? How many of you have had a birthday? All right, there you go. I would just ask because I wanted to see how many of you were actually awake. Okay. Oh, yeah, I've had a birthday. Okay. How many of you always celebrate your birthday on the day you were, on the actual day? Sometimes it's like life is busy and you pull together and celebrate on a Saturday, right? Because that's when everybody can get together. It's not necessarily the exact day. Sometimes you celebrate it on, listen, so we celebrated on December 25th. Not the exact day. Listen, the fact of the matter is we're having a remembrance of it. Okay, and that's the key, and that's the whole world at this point takes a moment to step back and celebrate the birth of Christ. Even though it's trying to be washed away a little bit. You know, what's today's date? Not the actual December and everything, but what year? 2018, and that's usually followed by two letters. What are those letters? Ah, AD. You guys remember that, right? And if it was before zero, we called that what? BC. Thank you. You guys still remember what to call it. If you look in Wikipedia and some of the things today, it'll say BCE or CE. Common Era or Before Common Era. They want to take away what those words mean. You know what the word means? BC, before Christ. Okay, you know what AD stands for? Ad Domini, in the year of our Lord. Our entire dating system is based upon the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ came. Okay, and I don't care if you want to call it BCE and CE, you're still numbering the days at the birth of Christ. Okay, so listen, we have a system, we have a world that focuses and revolves around the fact that Jesus Christ came. Jesus wants to make the point, first off, I came, the reason I came is so that when people believe in me, they might have everlasting life. You with me together? We got to set this fact. That is why there is a manger. That is why there is a Christmas. All right, so that we could remind ourselves of that. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. I don't want anybody to leave here going, I can't remember what Christmas was really about. And don't tell me Pastor said either. That's why I'm reading you all these verses, so I don't have to take the blame. I mean, it's not my fault. Okay, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus said, I came so that when you believe, you might have everlasting life. It says here that God, when it was right, when the time was just perfect, God sent forth his Son, Jesus, so that you and I can receive adoption into his family. Now again, contrary to what the world lists, and this is not going to sound politically correct, but you can tell I'm all about politically correct. Okay, the world will try to say something like this. Well, we're all God's children. Sorry, no we're not. Okay, the Bible himself, Jesus, when he was speaking to the religious leaders, he's looking at the Pharisees, those who are working in the synagogue, and says, you guys are of your father, the devil. We are not all of God's family. Until, did you see what it just said? Shall I read it? Let's do that. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. If you need to be adopted, that means what? You don't have parents. God sent forth his Son into this world so that you and I could be adopted into his family. Because until we believe on Jesus for everlasting life, we're not children of God. Now, I don't know if you ever heard that before. It's not something I like to talk about because it sounds pretty harsh. But you know what? If you would just put your faith and trust in Jesus, you get adopted into his family. John 1:12. Just so you know, I'm not just talking out of the side of my head. The book of John 1:12. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible because it gives me hope. John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says this. But as many as receive him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but as many as receive him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm a son of God. Amen. Why? Because I believe on his name. Period. Well, no, you're a son of God because you're a pastor of the church. No. Okay? That I'm such a good guy. No, the Bible says, you know what? Jesus came for a purpose. That was if people believe on him, they can have everlasting life. God sent him into this world so that if people believe, they would be adopted into the family. God says it right here. We can receive power to become the sons of God when we believe on Jesus Christ as Savior. That's a number one reason that Jesus came to this planet. I came to fulfill the will of my Father, and the will of my Father is so those that believe in me would have everlasting life. I'm going to go to my next point. And this one's tough for me because it smacks in the face of a lot of what people think about the holidays and the world in general. I'm going to read this verse, and then we'll try to talk us through it so we don't have a shock. Okay? Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says something pretty different than even what we were just singing in some Christmas carols. Okay? What do we talk about? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men, right? That's on every Christmas card and bumper sticker, and you've got people out standing in the square in downtown and everything because Jesus wants peace on earth. And that means no war, and that means everybody's just getting along and telling each other how wonderful they are. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's good. Listen, I debated whether I should actually read this verse because it's pretty steep. But when you understand what Jesus is talking about, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set at variance against his father and his daughter, man, let me try that again. Come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I can believe the mother-in-law part. Sorry, just, yeah. Did you hear what Jesus said? Now, we just talk about Jesus came to put peace on earth. Jesus just said, I came not to bring peace on earth, but a sword. Well, wait a minute. Does that mean you're telling us Jesus is here to make us have war? No. But let me tell you what Jesus is very deliberately saying. That there are certain people who are going to believe in him, who are going to believe what God's word says, and from that point forward, there's people who aren't going to get along. Because you know what? There are things in this Bible that declare what is sin in this world. And there are some people in this world who don't like to hear that. There are certain parts of our lives as human beings that the Bible says we ought not to be doing. But I'll tell you right now, and since we are in the information age and we have so much computer access through everything in the world, if you want to find something out there, the most vulgar, disgusting, awful thing you can think of, you can find somebody doing it. But you know what the world tries to tell us right now? That good Christians, because we want peace on earth, we should just say, oh, that's okay if you do that. Because we're supposed to have peace on earth and all just get along. And we're supposed to love, love, love. And I'm not going to tell you what you're doing is wrong and it's a sin. Well, that's not what my Bible just said, guys. Jesus said, I didn't come here to make peace. I didn't come here for everybody to just get along. There's going to be a point in which certain people, when they hear what Jesus is about and when they hear what his word says, aren't going to like it. Maybe it's one of you right now. Oh, no, I knew I shouldn't have come here. Always make me feel terrible. Aren't you so glad you came to church? Listen, guys, I'm on the same boat. Because, you know, I, Reverend Craig Fisher, always do everything perfect. And I never do anything wrong. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. You know that's not true. And so when I ponder my Bible and I understand what God has said about my life, I have to look back and say, you know, there's things I just don't like. There's things that I do that I have to go, sorry, Lord. I know I need to do better. And if you're honest with yourself, every one of us knows that. The problem is there are people out there who don't say, sorry, Lord, I should do better. There are people out there that say, I can do what I want. Nobody ought to tell me any different. That's the people where Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to bring peace to the entire world. Titus chapter 2. So Jesus said, listen, I came not to bring peace, but I came, my coming, it's going to divide people because some people are just not going to want to have to listen to what I have to say. Titus chapter 2. I'll get there, I promise. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. A-L-L, big word there. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the gracious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. God wants people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior to be different than everybody else. Did you hear that with me? To deny lust, to walk godly, to do things according to what God wants them to do. I like that phrase. The nothing better fits. He wants a peculiar people. I can't tell you how many times people have probably looked at me and gone, pretty peculiar. But you understand what God wants? There's going to be a difference between people who want to do what God wants to do and people who don't. And it's going to cause people not to get along. But Wednesday night crew, if you want to join us on Wednesday night, guys, please do. We've had some good conversations about this. One of the biggest problems in our world is this idea that because you call yourself Christian and because you believe in Jesus, that everybody should just get along. And that has been a dangerous thing in society for years. If somebody doesn't believe all the words that Jesus has said, why would you think Jesus would appreciate that? If everything that Jesus talked about and taught us, they go against, it's, oh, but Jesus wants us to love you. Listen, I got my children. I love them to death, sometimes literally. I love them with all my heart. But there are certain things about mom and dad's home that they will keep the rules, whether I love them or not. I'd love them right into their bedrooms for timeouts. I love them right across my knee for a spanking. You spanked your kids? Absolutely did. I didn't beat them, but I reminded them there are consequences when you don't keep the rules. If we are in this world trying to portray Jesus Christ as that person who comes to let people get away with everything, we don't understand why Jesus came. Because Jesus came and said, I didn't come so that everybody would be at peace with each other. I came because I'm going to set a standard and some people aren't going to like it. And they're not going to get along. Now, does that mean we don't love them? Now, please. We have a problem in our world, and my brother-in-law introduced this to me, and I'll just give you, for you who are interested in religious things, evangelicals. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Not evangelicals, but ex-evangelicals. They changed the letters in the beginning. Because now the word evangelical, it means bad things in this world. It means you're you hate gay people, and that you are pro-war, and that that's what an evangelical means. So people are changing it. Going, if you haven't seen it yet, you'll see it out there. It's coming around. Just because God says there's rules in his Bible that we ought to keep doesn't mean we hate people. Listen, just because I set some rules about brushing your teeth and making your bed and cleaning your plate doesn't mean I hated my children, did it? Somebody nod. Okay, everybody, we're all over that. I asked one of those backwards questions. Is it not? We set rules because we love. I didn't make them make their bed because I hated them. But that's the idea in this world, right? If you say that a certain behavior in someone's life is unbiblical and not what God wants, you're hateful. No, we're not. We just understand God has a standard that he's taught us about. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're still talking about the idea that God has set a standard. And guys, we're talking about Christmas, and Jesus himself, a direct quote from Jesus, said, I came for this reason. First, he came to bring everlasting life to people. that believe on him. Second, he came to set some standards that are going to cause people not necessarily to always get along. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. You want peace on earth? I hope you do. Okay? It's not just something that a member of a beauty pageant, right? I want world peace. Sorry. A bad reference to a movie. Okay. Listen to what Jesus says, or what Paul says about Jesus. For he is our peace. You want peace on earth? There's one way you get it. Who is our peace? Jesus. Listen, I don't care how many treaties you sign over in the Middle East, there's not going to be peace. As long as there are people on this earth who want to usurp their will over someone else, there's not going to be peace. There is only one way to get peace. Jesus is our peace. You keep going on in this passage. That's verse 14. Verse 16. I'll make sure I get the right one. Oh, so you're verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity and the law of commandments and ordinances, making himself twain one new man. And listen to this. It says, Jesus made peace. So he is peace. He made peace. And the next verse says, and he came and preached peace. We are not going to get peace on earth by signing a treaty. We are not going to get peace on earth by people letting everybody get away with murder. You get peace when you understand who Jesus is and you believe in him. That's how you get peace. And again, we misquote it all the time at Christmas. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Listen, do you understand what happened when Jesus was born? That wasn't peace on earth. We sang a song for the Cheshiremen, our concert. It's called the Coventry Carol. I don't know if you're familiar with it. But the Coventry Carol, the words basically are about the story where Herod decided to make an order that killed all the babies under 2 years old because he didn't want Jesus, the King of the Jews, to survive. And it talks about the second verse as Herod the king in his raging charged his men, his mighty men, to go slay the little babies. Listen, I don't call that peace on earth. When Jesus was born, there were a lot of folks who were mourning because the soldiers came and killed off all their children under 2 years old. Peace on earth doesn't come from humanity. Peace on earth comes because he is our peace. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept that salvation that he offers, that's where peace comes from. Mark chapter 2. Jesus says something else he came to do. So he came to do the will of his Father, to offer people everlasting life through those who believe. He came to set a standard that some people aren't going to like, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, some people aren't, and you're not going to get along, period. Because we want to live godly, not in our worldly lust, and other people just want to. People aren't always going to get along. Mark chapter 2, Jesus says, again, another reason that he came. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's another reason he says he came. He came to call sinners to repentance. And I love Jesus, the way in God, how he puts things together. He says, would you go to a doctor if you're not sick? How about this? Would you go to a doctor even if you're sick? I know some of us go, I got to go to the emergency room at Cheshire Med? Forget it. Unless, I figured it out. If you've got the flu, or you got to need stitches or something like that, you walk into Cheshire Med and you say, my heart hurts and my left arm is numb. And then they'll take you right in. Okay? Because they think you're having a heart attack. Everything else, now, I don't mean to be mean to them, but sometimes it does seem, in an emergency room that 6 hours later you're still sitting there. Some emergency, right? But Jesus says something interesting here. He says, when you're sick, you go to a physician. The reason I came to this earth was not to deal with people who thought they were righteous, but to deal with people who were sick, who sinners that needed to come to repentance. So he says, the will of my Father is so those that believe can have everlasting life. He says, I came so that those people who were sick in sin could find healing. How are you doing today? I still fight with the spiritual common cold all the time, but I've met the great physician. He's taking care of my sin problem. Has he taken care of yours? Jesus says that's the reason he came. When you look at that little baby in a manger, I'm sure Jesus' desire was not in eternity past going, you know, God, this has been cool up here in this perfect heaven, streets of gold and everything I need. I really want to go down and cut some teeth. Okay, I can't wait to go down. Okay, I can't wait to go down and feel a hungry stomach. Okay, one of my favorites, I don't know why this always pops in my mind, is stubbing my toe. You know, you get up in the night and, ooh! You understand Jesus never had to put up with any of those things? And he volunteered to say, you know what? God the Father, you know what I'm really looking forward to? I can't wait to go be born as a human so I can have all the wonderful headaches that they have. Listen, could you imagine just for a moment, he was a carpenter? Listen, I'm a carpenter. I've done it for years. I was a contractor. And I've got power tools, and I can't tell you how many times I've done things to my hands, slivers, and hit them with a hammer and everything. Imagine if you still had to use all those hand tools. I'm sure Jesus knew what it felt like to smash himself in the hand with a hammer or have a splinter stick. That is not the reason Jesus came. He didn't come here to just say, I can't wait to be a human being. He came to call sinners to repentance. That's why he came. Because he knew people were hurting and knew they needed a way to deal with the issue in their life, and that was their sin. John chapter 12, Jesus says something else. He says, I didn't come for this reason. Here's why I came. John chapter 12. Verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Why did Jesus come? To save the world. Now, so interesting, because now this, I wanted to make sure we circled back to this, because in the beginning, Jesus said, I came to bring a sword, right? I want fathers and mothers to fight and brothers and sisters. That's not what he's saying. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to save the world. He didn't come to judge. He came to save. The problem is this. People don't like being told what is wrong. They just don't. I don't. You ever have an accountability partner or your spouse who just lovingly comes up and says, well, you ought not to do that. No, I'm sorry. I'm just teasing. We would call it nagging. But nobody knows what that is, I'm sure. Or somebody, you know, will go, man, get off my case, our teenagers or whatever. Because you have people in your life who tell you the thing. Tell yous? I ought to tell you something. They tell you things you should and shouldn't be doing. Jesus said, listen, my purpose coming was not to just remind people what they shouldn't be doing. My purpose in coming was to save. once you become adopted into the family, there's some rules. Come on, how many of you? Listen, I've actually considered adoption. Anybody ever considered adopting somebody? Okay, I was looking for maybe a 30 or 40 year old who's about $10 million rich. Come on, wouldn't that be an awesome adoption? Come on, be a part of our family. You can take care of us for a while. No, I've actually considered that. But you know what? You think bringing someone into your house and introducing them to a whole new set of rules, right? As long as you live under my roof, boy, you won't live by my rules. Come on, how many times have we heard that said or wanted to say that ourselves? When you are adopted into God's family, there's a new set of standards that you're expected to live by. Why would we think it's any different? You know, we think about that, well, God wouldn't, you know, want me to live a certain way. He'd let me live it. We don't do that in our own homes. We can't give God that kind of credit. We don't necessarily want to judge people, but if you're going to come live under my roof, you're going to live by my rules. If you don't, there's the door. Come on, we're not being mean. We're just understanding. Wouldn't we give God that kind of credit? Jesus says, I didn't come here to judge. I came here to save. I want everybody to be a part of my family. Because you're going to be a part of my family, I expect some things to happen because this is my roof. It's my rules. And let's keep reading right here what it says. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him the word that I have spoken unto him. The same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus said, I didn't come here for the purpose of making people feel bad. I didn't come here to set a bunch of rules down that everybody would be upset about. I came here to save people, to give them everlasting life. Now, along with that, I've spoken some words, I've laid down some laws, some rules, and they're there. You're going to be judged by whether or not you keep the rules. Okay? I, believe it or not, I'm going to say this and God's going to get me for it. Okay? Because you know how this happens. It just goes around, comes around. I tend to have a little heavy foot when I'm driving. Okay? I'll say a little heavy foot. Okay? There's that zone, right? If the speed limit says 55, you can do 64. Right? As long as it's not 10 miles an hour above the speed limit, as long as you're in there. Yet, and here it comes, Lord, I'm going to say it. I haven't gotten a ticket since 1989. My wife looks at me and she says, I don't know how it happens. She's gotten more tickets. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. One. She says, okay, one ticket. So, and I never let her forget it either. You know, you drive pushing it a little bit, pushing those limits, but you know what? If a police officer pulls me over, I know what the law says. I know if I'm driving 75 miles an hour in a 55, I'm not going to go to a police officer like some people do and go, what? Don't you got other criminals to pull over somewhere? Somebody's got to be robbing a bank. I was breaking the rules. I know what the law says. If I take it in my own hands and do it, it's the same thing. Jesus said, listen, I didn't come here for the purpose of judging folks. I want people to get adopted into God's family. I want people to receive everlasting life. So I've given a word that I've spoken. And it tells you what you ought to do. The sign says 55. If you're going to decide not to do that, then you have to deal with the consequences. But he didn't come to say, Jesus came open arms, said, listen, my Father in heaven has a will. His will is he wants to adopt everybody. Just come, believe in me, receive that gift. We'll be there in a minute. Chapter 18, same book here in John. Verse 37, he says this. And again, another scripture saith, that happened, it'll be good if I read the right chapter. I'm not in the right place. There we go. That looks more like it. Verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou king then? And Jesus answered and saith that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Doesn't get any clearer. Jesus said, you want to know why I came in the manger? The reason I was born, the reason why God sent me here is to be witness of the truth. And Pilate says something interesting in the next verse. Pilate says, what is truth? I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people. They say, whoa, what is truth? John chapter 17, verse 17. 17:17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Not just true, it is truth. You know the difference? How do you discover something's true? You compare it to something to discover that, right? Is that true? So you go back to the facts to find out whether it's true, right? I mean, I like these CSI shows and stuff like that. You do something is truth because true because you compare it to the truth. Well, he doesn't say the Bible is true. He says it's truth. This is the standard, guys. So you see what Jesus said? I want to put a bow on this. He says, I came here because it was my Father's will. It was his will that I give everlasting life to those who believe. When I do come, I didn't come to judge, I came to save. But there is one thing that's going to judge, and people aren't going to like it. He says, I came here, O King Herod, to proclaim truth. The truth of God. Thy word is truth. There are some people who are going to listen to it and believe it, and they'll receive adoption into God's family. There's some people who won't. And it's going to bother them, and it's going to eat at them, and it's going to cause them to get angry because they don't want to change their life. They want to do what they want to do. But you live under my roof. It's my rules. Jesus says, this is the reason I was born. One last verse, and I don't even know if we need to turn there, because it's probably the most famous Bible verse in all the world. John chapter 3, verse 16. Many of you may be able to quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We started out with a thing that Jesus said, you know why I came? I came to fulfill the will of my Father. That is to offer everlasting life to anyone who believes. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The reason that Jesus Christ came and was born, the reason we have a baby in the manger, the reason we have a Christmas day is because before this whole world was put together, God the Father and God the Son said, you know what, we're going to create humans, they're going to screw everything up, and we're going to have to fix it. And so we did. So my question to you today, got a couple of them. Number one, are you adopted into God's family? That comes by believing in Jesus Christ, period. Listen, if you drop money in the envelope today, an envelope in the offering today, that ain't going to get it. The fact that you're here and we're taking attendance and you are sitting in a pew in a church doesn't earn you a place. There's only one thing that does. Jesus said it several times in this. You believe in me. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. And you can understand that you're adopted into God's family. Now, because you're adopted into God's family, those of you who are you acting like one of God's kids? Come on. They call ourselves Christians, right? That's a title we have. It means Christ-like ones. If you wear, a buddy and I were talking about shirts of what declare something on it, and you go, oh, no, don't believe what the shirt says. Well, if you've got a name across you that says, I'm a Christian, are you actually acting like one of God's kids? You ever do that? Yeah, I don't have my wallet with me. You'll run into a neighbor or somebody and they'll say, your kids are so awesome. You know, they came over the other day and they were raking the yard and they were, you know, doing that. I'm like, pull my wallet open, show a picture. These kids? I can't get them to pick up a sock at home. What do you mean they're raking the yard? You got to double check and you're thinking, man, maybe not within the walls of my house, but they're representing the Fisher name out in the world, all right. You know, when you think, that's my boy, or just the opposite. All right, I'm done. Or just the opposite. Your kids pull something, and you come home, and you look them in the eye, and you say, you know what that says about our family? You know what? You represented us. That's not the kind of people we are. Are you the kind of person that God expects you to be? I know I'm still working on it. Last one. Are you and I representing Christmas for what it really means? Now again, please, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not telling you go home and take your Santa Claus off the shelf. Or it's not Santa on the shelf, it's Elf on a shelf, right? I'm just saying, please don't forget what this is really about. We don't have a manger and a Christmas tree and Christmas carols and exchanging gifts just because it's a fun time of year. We have it because God had an eternal plan that he worked out to redeem us, to forgive us of our sins and bring us back into the family of God, because he wants a peculiar people. He wants people different than everybody else who's just living for their own hearts and their own desires. He wants people to live for him. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then there's a song. How many of you know the song Hallelujah? There's a song that got a little rewritten with some Christmas words. And I think we're going to end with that if we can get it. I don't know if it's, I think that's what the ding, the sound was to remind me of. So, but we have a word of prayer, and I'd like to end with this song, just a reminder why Christmas is really here. And please go out and remember that. You know, when we get it all into the hustle and bustle and Black Friday kind of shenanigans, that we get distracted from what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,